You're listening to the CryptoCast podcast.
Welcome to the Crypto and Blockchain Talk.
Hello.
Hey.
Guten Tag.
Hallo.
Hola.
Shalom.
Hallo.
Namaste.
Ni hao.
Vivet.
Hello.
Salut.
Yassas.
Salve.
Ciao.
Bonjour.
Our podcast talks about the latest trends in the worlds of cryptocurrencies and the blockchain. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Crypto and Blockchain Talk. And I have to warn you that something is fishy on the blockchain. So stay tuned and let's listen to how reducing seafood fraud with blockchain technology is going to come to fruition. Are you sure that the expensive wild-caught Atlantic salmon that you had for dinner last night was in fact the gourmet fish you thought you had? Or was it just a cheaper farm-grown salmon? Or was it salmon at all? Even more so, are you sure that the tasty white tuna sushi that your local sushi bar serves is actually made from tuna and not from escalar, also known as oilfish? What's the big deal, you might ask? Well, escalar is quite notorious for its delicious, cheap, and oily meat. Meat that also causes intense stomach problems. In other words, nasty, uncontrollable diarrhea. Now, how likely is it for a sushi restaurant to serve its hungry customers fish with such severe side effects? Or how common is fraud in general within the seafood industry? Well, that's what we're here to tell you. From 2010 to 2012, Oceana, one of the largest organizations focusing on studying oceans, conducted a study exploring fraud within the seafood industry. And according to their research, as much as one-third of all seafood products in the United States were mislabeled. What that equates to is one in every three seafood products that people buy but don't actually contain what the label says. This is the industry average, but there are many species of fish that have a much higher percentage of fraud. Coming back to our good old friend the oilfish, while some crazy seafood fanatics might think that a 33% chance of having some serious leakage in the bathroom the next day is not such a high price to pay for a plate of delicious cheap sushi, or perhaps not even so cheap a dish. According to the same study done by Oceana, the chance of being served escalar instead of proper white tuna is around 84%. And these samples didn't come from some shady grocery stores. Grocery stores actually ranked quite low on the fraud scale, at around 18%. Whereas restaurants and sushi bars had fraud rates of 38 and 75%, respectively. White tuna is not an isolated case. When it came to red snapper, only 7 samples of 120 actually contained red snapper. Fishes like halibut, grouper, cod, and Chilean sea bass all ranked between 19 and 38% on the mislabeling scale. When it comes to the salmon that you had last night, well, we don't have any better news. A later study by Oceana found that 69% of the times Atlantic salmon was sold under wild caught was actually the much cheaper farm-grown salmon. Yes, folks, 69% of the time. In addition to selling cheaper fish as something more expensive, some fisheries are passing on endangered species as a common consumer product. For example, in 2009, a group of researchers found that a high-end restaurant in Santa Monica served sushi made from the endangered sei whale. It was smuggled in from Tokyo and invoiced as fatty tuna. Take this in for a moment and think about it. Some operations are going as far as replacing real seafood with plants or even artificial seafood manufactured from chemicals. There have been cases where jellyfish, which is a common element in Asian cuisine, has been replaced with bamboo shoots or mustard greens, plants that can cause severe allergic reactions in some people. Chinese police have busted several jellyfish syndicates that manufactured fake jellyfish from chemicals extremely high in aluminum, which could do a lot of harm to unsuspecting customers. It is not only the supply chain where problems arise. Fraudulent fisheries often abuse their employees, who are already severely underpaid and put into inhumane conditions for extremely long hours. It is not uncommon to see the poaching and slaughtering of sharks, dolphins, and whales. So what is being done to stop this? There are organizations and companies that have stood up to the cause and set out to eliminate fraud and crime from the seafood industry, also creating transparency and trust around this whole field. One company that set this goal for themselves was Sea to Table. Their plan was straightforward. They would buy fish from local fishermen and sell those fish directly to the end consumer. No lengthy supply chain involved. This is a very simple plan they had. Over the years, Sea to Table was able to become the poster child of sustainable fishing, gathering a loyal customer base and being involved with almost every project regarding sustainable fishing. But only recently, some very disturbing news has come to light. Sea to Table was accused by the Associated Press of conducting the same fraud they initially set out to eliminate, which is very disturbing. People started to get suspicious when Sea to Table sold Montauk tuna in the dead of winter when the Montauk Harbor was frozen solid and no tuna boats could go out to fish. From this point forward, new evidence kept showing up. DNA analysis indicated that the local yellowfin tuna that the company was selling likely came from the other side of the world. There were also reports from fishermen working abroad who claimed they were forced to work on the fish boats for Sea to Table. "We were treated like slaves," said one of the fishermen. "They treated us like robots and without any conscience." These fishermen worked unimaginably long hours, sometimes up to 22-hour shifts, without food or water, while being only compensated as little as $1.50 per day. It is difficult to see the role model of sustainable fishing falling on the same path as the fraudulent companies that they wanted to eliminate. The unsuspecting news left many sea-to-table clients, some of who were very well-established and well-known chefs, baffled. All this time they believed they were supporting a loyal cause, only to find out that Sea to Table was no different. But there still is hope. There are still companies who are supporting this cause and working hard to figure out how to clean up the fraudulent seafood industry. And one of the most promising solutions for doing just this is with using blockchain technology. While many people understand blockchain only within the context of cryptocurrencies, such as with Bitcoin and Ethereum, there are many use cases for blockchain technology. Two things that make blockchain unique are its immutability and transparency. Everything that is stored on the blockchain is there permanently, and no one can alter or delete the information and data that has been stored. And everyone in the network has the ability to see this data. Some companies are already using blockchain to track their supply chain, including the company that has made the very can of tuna that I'm holding in my hand possible. Now, I know this is a podcast and you can't see what I'm holding, but I will tell you right now, there is not only on the packaging, but on the can, a QR code where you can actually scan it and you can see the entire chain of how this fish came from sea to plate. Every single step is tracked with IoT sensors, which is attached to the fish as soon as it is reeled in by the fisherman. Every factory, processing facility, or logistics center that this fish passes through gets recorded on the blockchain. Some sensors will even monitor the product's temperature, humidity, and other outside factors. When a consumer purchases the fish off the shelf of a supermarket, or when a restaurant receives an order of fish, they can actually check the entire journey of this exact fish using a tracking ID or a QR code, just like the very can I'm holding in my hand. They can see every factory that this fish went through. and they can see when the fish was transported and where, and even the name of the fisherman's cat. Okay, the last one might not be true, but you get the point. Everything can be checked by the consumer. And once the information is on the blockchain, no one can change it afterwards. A sushi restaurant in San Diego called Harney Sushi is already printing edible QR codes on their rice paper wafers. These QR codes direct people to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's, or NOAA for short, Fish Watch website, where visitors can learn more about the sustainability and origin of the fish they are eating. Blockchain companies like VeChain and Hyperledger are developing new ways to improve every process within supply chain management with blockchain and different RFID, or radio frequency identification, NFC, or near field contact, sensors, and QR codes. Hyperledger in particular has a subdivision called Sawtooth that focuses on developing solutions for sustainable fishing. I applaud you for this, Hyperledger. Blockchain could definitely improve the seafood industry, as well as every other industry. It opens up many new opportunities and ways to improve our already existing processes. It definitely holds a place in our technological future, and understanding blockchain will be important. There are many sources that provide educational information about blockchain technology, such as this very podcast, which gives a helpful insight into the world of crypto and blockchain, and also CryptoFinance24.com, who posts useful information about the vast crypto world. Although we have just shown that the seafood industry is littered with fraud, and it is quite likely that the fish you bought from the store or ordered from a restaurant is not the fish you thought you ordered, there are companies working hard on changing that. These companies are developing potentially revolutionizing solutions that will bring transparency to the whole industry, and most of them are utilizing blockchain technology. So when you see a QR code on a can of tuna or on a rice wafer in the near future, know that it will likely tell you where your fish is from and what it went through before reaching you. I would like to thank you for listening to this week's podcast, and I would also like to invite you to download our podcasts on Spotify, iTunes, or Deezer. And please, don't hesitate to give us a nice 5-star rating if you like what you hear. And if you have any further comments, or if you have any topics that you wish us to cover, please email us at education@savvydigital.com. Again, that email address is education@savvydigital.com. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to having you as our listener next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the CryptoCast podcast. Stay tuned in for more episodes.